I don't mind you coming here.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer. On News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter.
Hey, it looks like you like to get up early, so Monday through Friday, listen to me from 5:30 to 9. Mike Ferguson here, and you are listening to The Randy Tobler Show right here on News Talk STL.
You said you're supporting Donald Trump. Why?
He's the one that can get it straightened out. And I voted for him for the very first time ever that I voted, 2020. So he's the only one that can straighten this mess out.
Thank you so much,
and,
man.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I want him to do something about George Soros in this country. That's get him out.
Thank you so much, man.
Well, George Soros is certainly trying to control the way we think, the way we prosecute law and lawbreakers. If you look at the rogue prosecutors around the country, buying more media outlets, even here in our fair city. If Soros has his way, he's going to turn this into a communist country. That's my opinion. You heard Mike Ferguson there. And guess who's with Mike Ferguson every morning? Gabe Pfeiffer. And he joins us now on the Randy Tobler Show. Gabe, it's been too long since we've talked, my friend. Welcome.
It sure has been too long. Thank you so much for having me on.
So you heard that South Carolina voter, and the polls opened this morning, and they've been open now for a couple hours in South Carolina. I mean, a lot of people are keeping their eyes on that and trying to figure out, is Haley's continued presence in the race a good thing? Not a good thing. The polls suggest she may actually stand better against Biden or almost any other candidate compared to Trump. Yet Trump world continues to grow stronger. He endorses Laura, his daughter, for co-chair of the Republican National Committee. I mean, it's an interesting mix in the Republican Party. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing that's going on in the electorate right now. I think Republicans are at the very least the large MAGA portion of the Republican Party is what's leading in the primary area. And when the national polls come through and they grab as many independents as they can, somebody like a Nikki Haley is going to appeal to those middle of the road voters who don't necessarily want another Trump presidency, mostly because the media kind of ginned it up to be way worse, obviously, than it ever could have been. So there's a bit of an uphill battle Trump's going to have when he comes through this and into the general to capture those voters and to win the general. But it's possible if the Republican committee, the Republicans in general, can kind of get their act together on messaging. I think that's one of our biggest flaws, is that our messaging has always been it's either been a little too wonky or just kind of ham-fisted or otherwise not really appealing to people. We got to learn how to tell stories better and capture their understanding of what's going on, because the reality is everything's kind of crappy. The hope that they once might have had in a Biden presidency should be gone by now. We just need to remind them of that and remind them of the good times of 2019.
You know, I had a conversation. I know you're a man of faith. You're not. You're unabashed about sharing that. I'm the same way. I think though, among faithful Republicans, especially pro-life Republicans, there's a very spirited and I think necessary and interesting debate concerning this whole abortion issue and how to not only create public policy, planks and platforms at the state and national level, but also how to position and sometimes a juxtaposed faith versus the reality of where the electorate is in this country. And I struggle with that. I got to tell you, Gabe, I mean, on the one hand, I was thrilled to see that the Alabama Supreme Court said that a conceptus, a blastocyst created by in vitro fertilization, has value. It's human life. Last time I checked, the chromosomal constituent isn't the same as a frog or a raccoon. It's a human. And there it is in frozen suspended animation in vitro labs in St. Louis, in St. Louis County, across Missouri, across the country, and in Alabama. And yet that is anathema to the majority of Americans. I mean, if you look at the polls, they just don't want the purest from conception, all abortions should be banned stance. They don't want it. how best to save the most lives in the abortion debate should the Republican public policy and messaging be delivered. The floor is yours.
That's a really good question. It's a really deep question. I myself am an abortion abolitionist. I like to say. I kind of view the abortion debate now in the 2000s very similar to the slavery debate in the 1800s. It's very much there are kind of these different camps in those who want a sort of progressive move slowly towards abolition of slavery. You know, they say, okay, if we can do this, we can move the needle, we can push the conversation closer and closer to when the idea where people regard black folks as actually fully human and then they can have their rights. Then there's the abolitionist who said, just, you know, like, no, this is anathema to all reality and to our Constitution. We have to protect the lives of these individuals. They're just as valuable as us, and I won't compromise on that. And there was a lot of this similar sort of discussion between those factions as there are in the abortion factions today. Now, I don't have the right answer of what the best path forward would have been, because when we look back historically, the Civil War question was answered kind of in the worst way possible. You know, slavery question was answered in the worst way possible. So I would like to think that we could, while we pursue abolition in the legal sense, we can pursue a sort of incremental change in the cultural sense. And that may be the best way forward that I can see.
Jerome, would you clip that, please? That was a brilliant statement that should be a promotion. And here's, I think you and I, a big hug through the airwaves here. Okay, because I think we all want that zero tolerance for the extermination of any developmental stage of human life, right? I mean, I think people who believe human beings were created in God's image fell into sin and strive to, you know, always emulate God in His image and never quite get there, want to do all we can to protect. The precious creation that human beings are. That said, I don't think you mentioned that it's a both and, right? You've got the public policy side of this debate, which is the reality in a constitutional republic. And then you have the cultural side. Those two things are at odds right now. But we've seen some movement towards the cultural movement, even among young people. I hear it more often from more young people that, like, hey, we can't have unfettered abortion. But on the other hand, you know, if I get raped, I've heard young women say, and I understand it, I'll never be that person. So I have great empathy and restriction on judgmentalism there. You know, I mean, I think that you can't have the conversation with people that might be persuadable from the cultural lane unless you understand that they're not quite receptive to that abolitionist argument if you don't give a little on the public policy side. You know, I mean, that's to me sort of the way to thread that needle. It's like, okay, can we at least all agree that it's not proper to take a baby that if at 24 weeks lands in a neonatal intensive care unit has a much better than 50-50 chance survival? And can we not agree that at least, you know, and look, you know, a 16-week baby is clearly a human being. I've seen those babies prematurely delivered. They're clearly human beings. Can we maybe agree that we're going to restrict it? And then when it comes to the frozen embryos, can we maybe have a discussion about, let's make adoption of those embryos for women that can't get pregnant? We can prepare their uterus. They can be surrogate moms. They can adopt a preborn baby. Can we make that so ridiculously easy and fund it with a streamlined approach? is that the way the GOP should be tacking, Gabe? I don't know.
Yeah, well, there are so many ways that we could attack this, and it depends very much on the state as well, right? Because in Missouri, we were able to do something completely different than I would think. You know, you'd be able to get through in Pennsylvania. So you know, you're going to have those different situations. You're going to have to attack them differently and smartly. But one thing I do want to bring up is the idea that if you recall the whole gay marriage thing, it used to be if you had a state referendum, it would be voted down. Even in California, right, prior to the judgment by the Supreme Court, if you voted on gay marriage, it would be voted down. But all of a sudden, you get a Supreme Court decision that forces the states to behave in a certain way. And all of a sudden, you take a cultural poll and everybody's very supportive. So there is a something to the idea that the law can actually be a precursor to cultural acceptance of the idea. So there is that aspect of it as well. So, we can't discount any of these things. We've seen it work for the left. They seem to be able to do these things kind of willy nilly. I mean, we're still questioning what a man and a woman is, right?
Well, look at Obamacare. Obamacare was a big lie. You can keep your doctor. Everyone's going to save $1,500. But that was a bunch of Bravo Sierra, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
So you're right. But you're right. I think a properly calibrated and reasonably restricted abortion law sends a clear message that, hey, we're taking a stand. Could it be a perfect stand? Yeah, but look what happened in Kansas and Ohio. The enemy of good was better, and now you can kill a baby up until the day of birth. Hey, we have a caller. Let's take the caller, and we can comment on that. Let's hear what the caller has to say. Go ahead,
hi,
caller.
Hi, you guys. Great show, Dr. Tobler. I just wanted to put a different tact on there. You all were talking about how we might be able to present this as a way of making sense to people, and I think human life, if it's not sacred, like if it's a choice, if human life is just a choice, today the women may have a choice, okay? But if once you take that label off human life being sacred, don't you all think that at 10 years from now, when human life isn't sacred, if abortion is allowed, it continues to be allowed this way, that the government will make that choice for you? I mean, if human life isn't sacred, the government will start making the choice for all
good,
of us.
Good thought. Yeah, and thank you very much, caller. And Gabe, that reminds me. Remember Zeke Emanuel, Rahm Emanuel's brother, mm-hmm. a so-called bioethicist, who introduced the term quality years of life in determining how government health care was going to be rationed. They do that in Europe. And you could imagine, hey, if it's okay to take life at the early end, Gabe has a slip and a fall and he's in a little coma because he had a little bleed in his brain and he's, let's fast forward, he's 70 years old and he's not paying taxes anymore because he's not working, he's retired, you know. I don't think we're going to spend too much ICU money on Gabe. You know what I mean? I think it can cut both ways if we let this argument and this slippery slope get too slippery.
Oh, absolutely. We see what happens when the government gets involved and life is still sort of up for grabs for its definition and its value in Canada, my wife's homeland, where euthanasia has now become one of the top, you know, ways of that people in certain age brackets are dying. And the government is pushing this because the government runs the healthcare, because they have a hand involved. All of a sudden you have this perverse incentive for the government to encourage people to off themselves in order for them to save money on their single payer healthcare system. So, there's this one story that came out of there of a woman who has an autoimmune disease that causes her so much pain that she's opting to end her own life. She's only 26 years old. It's the same age as my daughter. That's what Canada is doing. The treatment that she's, or the non-treatment she's getting from the Canadian healthcare is what's causing her to do this because she can find no relief through their system. So that's the thing. When you devalue life not just from the beginning, but through all stages.
Right. It's crazy. Hey, I know I asked for a segment, but can you give us another segment? We're having some really interesting discussions here. I won't ask any more about abortion. I know it's a thorny subject. But these are real questions. I think we need to face them. We can't run from them because the voters are making their look what happened in the Santos replacement election. I mean, I think that was because of the abortion issue. There was a qualified GOP candidate out there and she lost by what, 7 or 8 points? Probably because of that. When we come back, I want to get you. Can you stay with us, Gabe?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about this 22-year-old nursing student killed by what is being reported as an illegal alien, and what in the world are we going to do about immigration? Gabe will give his solution to the problem. We hope Donald Trump's listening when we come back here on the News Talk STL Randy Tobler Show. We'll be right back.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
Hey, it's Mike Ferguson from The Morning Show, and you are listening to Randy Tobler right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Why? Because you're awesome.
Well, as I say sometimes, the immigration issue is extremely simple. The policies involved in fixing it are very complicated. The simple part is seal the border, deport all the illegals. Now, that's the...
Stephen Miller. That's Stephen Miller at CPAC. And joining us now from the Mike Ferguson in the Morning Show every weekday here on News Talk STL is none other than Gabe Pfeiffer. And for those of you who don't know, Gabe doesn't brag about it a lot, but I'll brag on him. He's a rocket scientist, an MIT guy. So when Gabe speaks, I listen. He's a bright guy. And Gabe, you know, we do have a lot of problems that I think are really existentially threatening to this country, one of which is it's no secret to anyone. Our sovereign borders are no longer borders. And now we saw it's being reported that this precious 22-year-old nursing student in the University of Georgia went out for a morning run Thursday and was killed by what's being reported as an illegal alien from Venezuela. Stephen Miller proposes an easy fix. Seal the border. Deport the aliens. What says Gabe Pfeiffer?
It sounds pretty easy. You would think that it wouldn't be that difficult for a large, powerful federal government to implement, especially because it's not only just the duty of the federal government to control the border of the United States, but it's their obligation according to the Constitution. It's the Constitution, generally speaking, is a document that defines the limits of the federal government. You can't make a law to do this. You can't make a law to do that. Here are the places where you are allowed to make laws. But when it comes to the border, it says the federal government is obligated to protect the states from invasion and such. And it has been failing to do so for a long time now. You would think then that, a government equipped to almost specifically to do this could just do it easily. So I do have trouble coming to mind what exactly is the impediment to them actually performing the duties that they should be able to do easily.
Well, Governor Parson has sent National Guard troops from Missouri down there, as other governors are doing. And, I frankly think this is a stellar example of federalism at its best, right? I mean, get the states together, let the states contribute to it. It's great. You know what? There's a dirty little secret out there, Gabe, that I think I first heard it on the Daily Wire, and I've done a little research into it. And now, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is bringing it to practical light. He's suing to revoke an NGO's license to operate in Texas, claiming that his office suspects the organization is facilitating illegal immigration. There are a lot of so-called faith groups that are actually part and parcel of this. They're getting federal money. Many of them have, in this particular group called Annunciation House, a Catholic group, says it offers hospitality to migrants in El Paso. They actually have, I guess, some kind of a safe harbor house in Juarez across the border in Mexico. They're one of a myriad of organizations that are actually, I think, aiding and abetting this crime against American citizens. You heard about it?
Yeah,
I've seen a number of these NGOs, and I've always actually wondered how is it that I see these images of people either on our side of the border or across the border, even helping out with these gigantic migrant caravans, and I'm wondering, why can't we just arrest those people? They're aiding and abetting the flouting of federal laws. Like, excuse me, I know who you are. I've got a picture of you now. I can find where you work when you're not volunteering to smuggle people across the border. Why don't I just pick you up too and just scourge that aspect of it? Again, I think there are already laws on the books that describe this stuff. It's like you can't. It's considered human smuggling, I believe, according to the federal statute that, you know, to move an illegal alien across the U.S. border. So when you find somebody who does it, when you got video evidence of them actually doing that thing, just arrest them. But again, I think it comes down to the power of the executive here to execute these laws, and you know, through their appointed heads of these various agencies, if they decide that they don't want to do it, that they would rather employ the Border Patrol, for instance, in processing these fake and phony asylum claims, rather than arresting traffickers and taking care of the actual immigration problem by sending these people home, then this is what you're going to get. You're going to get this constant flow. And once those people know that's how it works, that all you have to do is cross the border, say the magic words, and somebody with a uniform isn't going to arrest you. They're going to put you on a bus to Boston. That you're just going to do it.
Right. Well, are you get on a bus to a domicile providing jurisdiction there in Massachusetts, right? Or I guess in Boston.
Yeah.
Where they're, the citizens there are the citizens of Boston are bound to pay for housing when, I mean, all we hear about daily is about the difficulty of everyday Americans being able to either buy, much less buy, they can't even pay for the rent that's skyrocketed. And you just, that's what amazes me. When I look at the landscape of the electorate and you look at these polls, the fact that it's not, you know, 70-30 pro-border, yeah, pro-conservative, pro-MAGA agenda, essentially, for that one issue only. I don't know what's wrong with people. I guess they figure that even though they may be struggling, well, somehow the federal government, other people's money will take care of that. It's never going to hit me. Well, it's hitting them in inflation, and they can't even put those together, the people who support those liberal policies. It's crazy.
It goes even further than that, Randy, because, you know, you can even have people like, let's say, going to a town hall in Chicago. They recognize, actually, the immigration problem. I think there was one quote. I was talking to Katie on the Colombo and Katie show yesterday. There's one quote from a guy in there who was saying, hey, these aren't just families coming through here. We've got criminals and rapists, and they're coming through and they're making our neighborhoods worse. And it just occurred to me that, wait a second, didn't Donald Trump say the exact same thing from a podium, and he got blasted for it as being racist and xenophobic and all these other things? Well, now this man is basically describing his lived experience as mirroring exactly what Donald Trump said predictively from that podium. But the thing is, I don't think he is even going to recognize that's what came with his vote for the Democrat that he's talking to on the other side of that town hall meeting. He's mad at him now because his life looks worse, but he wasn't mad when he was saying we need to be a sanctuary city. So yeah, I don't know if it's really going to click with the electorate. I really hope it does. I really hope they wake up and they realize that their life is worse because of who they voted for.
You know, we started the discussion when we were talking about the abortion issue and how best to take the day and eventually aim for that abolitionist approach, hopefully sooner than later, but not maybe right away in one fell swoop. But you talked about messaging. And, you know, if you look at, on the abortion issue, we've let the left, the progressives, get away with the pro-choice rhetoric. No, it's pro-abortion. It's pro-abortion. And when it comes to borders, why are we even having a discussion about our asylum rules and how we're interpreting those? And we need more immigrant agents and immigration agents, and we need more judges. No, we should have a fence on the south a bank of the Rio Grande, right? A nice, tall, barbed wire with razor wire on the top of it fence, and people on our side with stun guns, I don't care, you know, tasers, whatever it takes. We can't let them even get in to make the asylum claim. Shut it down before they even get in. But yet we let the left, we let the Democrats, the progressives get away with the argument that, well, they're here and they have a right to claim asylum. Now we have to deal with it. I mean, all is lost then, because it all gets lost in the bureaucracy.
Absolutely. Yeah, our messaging on so many of these issues is so terrible. Every time I see an instance like the one I described with the man at the town hall and all those, I think of, oh, that would make a great ad. That would make, you know, you juxtapose Donald Trump saying the one thing, and then you juxtapose this guy saying the exact same thing, and you have, you know, running below both of them, basically the footage of actual bullcrap like that, the migrants beating up cops and attacking random people, and some naked guy trying to get onto a bus, you know, all of these stories that you hear about. About these illegal immigrants just terrorizing the places where they are, rioting at some of these shelters and things like that. Just put the images in front of the faces of the American people who maybe haven't seen or heard of these things. Force the public to face the reality of this.
Right. You have to live by the consequences of your decisions and maybe end that little 30 or 60 GOP spot with the immigrants who beat up the illegals who beat up the cops in New York City, giving everyone in America the middle finger. Maybe that's the way you end that
wheel. Exactly,
you know, maybe that'll do it. Yeah. Hey, Mean Gene, the dancing machine, wants to comment on immigration. Gene, what are your thoughts quickly? Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Gabe, listen to you guys every morning. Just real quickly, I agree 100% with what you guys are talking about. And I'm Catholic, and several years ago, I honestly stopped giving money to most of the stuff at the church because the money is fungible. I tried calling my diocesan business office to find out how much money, where it's going locally and everything. They didn't even return my call. I called them up twice, and I think that's just so disgusting. Gabe, you came up with a fantastic idea. Those NGO workers, they need freaking arrested and thrown in jail.
Yep. Aiding and abetting the enemy. Yeah, we're looking at an invasion.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Thanks, Gene. Thanks. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Thanks, Gene.
All right. On one final note, Gabe, do you have that sound, Jerome, I sent you from Charlie Kirk at CPAC? We'll describe it. We won't waste time playing it. Charlie Kirk alarmed me the other day. Gabe, when he basically said that we didn't go far enough on J6, and Bannon applauded it and cheerleaded it, and there was a lot of sympathetic applause for that as he opened CPAC on Wednesday. I'm all for trying to restore, you know, small R republicanism in this country, right? With, you know, small government, you know, secure borders, fiscal responsibility, on and on and on, right? That frightened me. Your thoughts on what is a growing, dare I say, radical movement within the GOP?
One of the dangers of populism, and we're seeing the rise of a sort of populist wing, primarily within MAGA and inside the Republican Party. One of the problems with populism is that it is susceptible to essentially mob rule. It has similar hallmarks as to what you might see on the left. Populism is what gave us the French Revolution, and on some level, the French revolutionaries had a point. The aristocracy, the ruling class, they were doing some bad things. They weren't providing the people with the freedom that they needed to flourish. There were a lot of issues that they had, but it turned into riots. It turned into violence. It turned into people being beheaded. You know, all of that stuff. And then you end up with a dictator. End up with Napoleon. And then you have to deal with that. So the reason the American Revolution worked is because it was thoughtful, because it started from base principles, because it lived, frankly, in the mind of God first, and then we interpreted that into the way we have to live here on Earth. And so I'm very frightened by the possibilities of what can come of a populist-driven conservative revolution, because it ends up not being conservative.
Yeah, right. And again, that's why, you know, we talked about it earlier. If Donald Trump gets Laura Trump in as part of the RNC, there were criticisms of him in the first administration, having a lot of his family, you know, being part of the show there. There are some dangers there. I hope that clear-minded conservatives think about that and objectively weigh that as they maybe make their donation with a little note alongside, like, hey, don't go too far. Don't go too far.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yeah.
Les Mis is probably our favorite Broadway show, and we love the spirit of, you know, restoring the people to making the decisions. However, it didn't end up well for those guys behind the barricade. You know, it didn't end up well.
It did
them.
Not.
All right. Gabe Pfeiffer, appreciate your time. Look forward to you and Stell joining Mike Ferguson every morning and starting Monday morning. It's a great, great show from 5:39 here on News Talk STL. Thanks for everything. Thanks for the extra time this morning. Look forward to the next conversation.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
All right. There he is, Gabe Pfeiffer. All right. It's your turn. Immigration, borders, economy. We didn't even get to talk about Ukraine, Israel aid. There's a lot to talk about. Let's talk about it. 314-912-1019. We'll be right back and wrap it up after this.
In the lobby, we watch our worship on the screen. We got a rock star preacher who won't wake us from our dreams.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
All right, welcome. Welcome. I just wanted to say welcome to the end of democracy. We're here to overthrow it completely. We didn't get all the way there on January 6th, but we will endeavor to get rid of it and replace it with this right here. We'll replace it with this right here.
Amen.
That's right, because all glory is not to government, all glory to God.
Wow. And wow again. Welcome back to the Randy Tobler Show. Jerome is over there doing a great job. Now, I have to publicly thank and genuflect to Jerome, because Jerome will tell you if you listen. He won't tell you when I'm listening. But if you get his ear behind my back, he'll tell you I'm hard to manage. I'm hard to deal with because I throw him curveballs. This wasn't on the sound sheet, but I saw it early this morning, and I thought I texted it to him, and technically it's not easy to make these things happen. And throughout the show, there's things happening that he didn't expect, because my mind's a little bit, but let's just say it's all over the map, and he puts up with it here on a Saturday morning. So I want to thank you publicly, Jerome, for that. There's not better production in the land. That's a scary thought. That was Jack Posobiec at CPAC. Let me do that again. Welcome to the end of democracy. We're here to overthrow it completely. We didn't get all the way there on January 6th, but we'll endeavor to get rid of it and replace it with this right here, because all glory doesn't go to government. All glory goes to God. He expanded on that, saying, we're here in the swamp to drain the swamp, eventually to raise, R-A-Z-E, in other words, bring it to demolition, the swamp to the ground, and create the new American Republic on its ashes. Now, folks, last time I checked, we criticized the progressive left, the Antifa people that are in the streets with their masks, assaulting innocent people, looting their stores, assaulting the cops, assaulting speakers at universities, conservative speakers, because that's what they want to do, destroy America and rebuild it with a new constitution. This frightens me. And of course, it's popular in these circles, and Jack Posobiec is apparently a millionaire. He's making a lot of money off of you, maybe. The whole MAGA movement is full of consultants, full of influencers making millions and millions of dollars. Not that that's bad on its face, but what are they doing? How are they doing it? You know, you just inject a little God talk into very frightening talk. Like, we didn't go far enough on January 6th. Does anyone want to call and justify that? Does anyone want to call and say, yeah, that's good? By the way, that was Steve Bannon in the background going, yeah, man, go on. Yeah, yeah. Amen, brother. Look, there's a distinction between this country being a nation, not a Christian nation. This country was not created as a Christian nation. This country was created as a nation of Christians. There's a huge distinction there. And it's an important distinction. And it's one you don't want to blur. Because Iran is a Muslim nation. Look how that worked out for them. Look how it works out for the many people in Iran who want to see a freedom like we experience, because many people understand what Western freedom is like, and they'd rather see that than the mullahs ruling them. When I hear influential people at CPAC saying we didn't go far enough on January 6th, is he saying we should have actually taken out Congress people? We should have put zip ties around Mike Pence and you know, whatever they were going to plan on doing. There were people that were planning on doing that. Call me, 314-912-1019, if you think that this was something to celebrate. I'm frankly running the other way. If this is an opening day statement at CPAC, if this is what CPAC is now about, I'm running the other way. I'm sorry. Count me out.
Yeah, one thing.
Where am I wrong?
I just want to chime in real quick. So I remember Trump, a while back, he made a joke about how he'd be a dictator day one, and that would be the only time he's a dictator. And it was clear from what I saw, from the way he was speaking, his body language and everything, he was like messing with the reporters asking him the question.
Sure he was.
This guy, there's no hint of irony. That's what's kind of concerning for me, is that I don't think he can play that off as a joke. It seems like he's actually trying to rile people up, and I agree with you entirely. That's cause for concern.
And his fist went up in the air, by the way. As he said, we're not supposed to give glory to government. We're supposed to give glory to God. Look, I give glory to God. I'm thankful God is there to give me peace and solace and comfort. And I find joy among other people of faith. Even though Gabe and I were wrestling with very difficult situations, when I'm around Gabe and everyone else at this station that are great people of faith, and you in the audience, you know, I feel great, because I know in the eternity, no matter what happens, if the nuclear bombs come over and we're all incinerated, it matters not, because there's eternity, right? And that's what gives you peace and comfort and solace. That's different than forcing my construct of a religion on other people and saying I'm going to destroy this constitutional republic and bring it down to rebuild it in what, my image, or what I think Donald Trump thinks it should be? Please, let's get a grip, guys. Wow. Caller, what do you think of this? Let's join in on the discussion. Tell me where I'm wrong here. But this is dangerous talk, man.
You're wrong on so many levels. I don't even know where to start. But
okay, tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Number one, they killed five people. Five protesters were killed by the DC police on January 6th. They didn't have guns, no arms, and they killed five people. Beat them to death, shot them, whatever. So, like, you're more upset about this guy talking about being disappointed about a stolen election than you are about the five people that were killed, which is disappointing, Dr. Tobler. Honestly, it is. But then I also want to point out another thing. Are you aware that there were two pipe bombs planted on January 6th at the D.C. National Headquarters and at the Republican National Headquarters? Are you aware of that?
Of course, I'm aware there are two pipe bombs that were found there. I don't know if the perpetrators, whether they were government or whether they were other people, have been.
Okay,
there's a lot of theories out there. I have not investigated this.
I understand. So the Gateway Pundit ran a story that showed, and the Gateway Pundit is pretty spot on. They're pretty trustworthy. They ran a story that the government actually has the license plate. They were able to track the license plate of the gentleman that planted the pipe bombs, and it is a retired federal employee. But they've never interviewed him, Dr. Tobler. So you're talking about a government, perhaps, that has planted pipe bombs on January 5th and 6th and has killed five people. So I think what they're trying to tell you, and I think you're taking it the wrong way, they don't want to undo the constitutional republic. What they're trying to tell you, Dr. Tobler, is that our government is no longer a constitutional government. And what they were trying to tell you isn't in a violent way, but that they stole an election. They planned and destroyed a lot of lives on January 6th with how they set up the Capitol and the January 6th protest. That was an entire communist setup trap. And our government is off the rails. And what I think they're trying to tell you is that our government is no longer a constitutional republic as it stands now. And I think the inflation is what's telling you that we no longer have a constitutional republic. The way they're treating Donald Trump right now by trying to put him in prison for the rest of his life and stealing all of his assets tells you that we're not in a constitutional republic right now. And what they were just trying to tell you is they're not saying we don't want a constitutional republic. They're telling you the fact that we no longer live in a constitutional republic.
Caller, wait a minute. You're conflating a few things here. Proud Boys wielding axe handles vandalized the U.S. Capitol, tore down doors, had stated intent to take out congressional officials and to injure or hang. They had zip ties. They were going to go after Mike Pence. Don't tell me that's false. I'm not saying that the government doesn't overreach. I am the most suspicious of big government. Don't even talk to me about my problem with big government. That's separate from a violent attack on our Capitol by a significant number of people.
Dr. Tobler, have you ever watched, I know you understand what a counter revolutionary trap is. The DC January 6th was a complete setup by our government to entrap the January 6th, the protest.
Caller, now look, man, I got it. Look, okay, and you misrepresented what Jack Posobiec said. I'm reading it here again. We're here to welcome to the end of democracy. We're here to overthrow it completely. We didn't get all the way there on January 6th. We'll endeavor to get rid of it and replace it. I'm sorry, dude. That is not just, it's not functioning the way it should. We need to reform it.
They planted. So, Dr. Tobler, again, you don't relate to the five people that died. You don't relate to them at all. They were just people that went to a
Trump. I do relate to them.
That were beaten to death. And you don't relate to any. I've never heard you talk about. Have you talked about how they're treating the January 6th prisoners? How they're torturing them?
We talk about it incessantly. Listen to the program. We talk about it all the time. Hey, we're out of time. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. And you're trying to say that he was metaphorical in that statement. I'm afraid that. Look, we're out of time. We got to run. Got to run. Let's talk about it next week. Whew. Okay. Yeah, we have a lot of talking to do. I'm willing to learn. I'm not willing to say let's bring down the democracy and rebuild it again. That is just radical talk, guys. One thing we can agree on, though, is that what you're hearing here is true, and we need to keep faithful to where ultimately our future lies. It's not in the government. It's not in Donald Trump. It's not in Joe Biden. It's not in Governor Parson. Keep your eyes upward. We'll see you next week.